Sometimes a thing is just a thing. But sometimes a thing is more than it appears to be. When I was a kid, I was fascinated with a series of images we called Magic Eye, due to a collection of images in a book with that same title. These images, like this one, are more properly titled stereographic images and appear at first to just be a simple picture, often with some sort of repeating pattern. You'll note that this one looks like stars and pink cosmos repeating on top of bluish waves. But if you were to stare at this picture in just the right way, making your eyes unfocus on what is initially presented and refocus on the whole of the image, something else might appear. It's more difficult when you're staring at the picture on a digital screen, but maybe you've still begun to see the cascading spiral that appears to be stretching out behind the picture in front of you. Sometimes a thing is just a thing, but sometimes it's more than it first appears to be. As a kid, I loved these images and I would stare at them for hours. I started with the trick of holding it right in front of my face, teaching my eyes to focus beyond the image, and then slowly pulling it away, continuing to focus beyond the page, and then revealing what was there all along. Over time, the more that I did this, I was able to quickly figure out how to make my eyes focus on another point entirely without the aid of that movement, and then within seconds, see the design that is hidden within. Sometimes a thing is just a thing, but other times there's more to it than that. Which is what I think about when I read today's series of stories from Luke, beginning with Jesus taking the 12 disciples aside and foretelling his death and resurrection. "See, we're going up to Jerusalem," Jesus told them, "and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." But they understood nothing about all these things. In fact, what he said was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what he said. It's as if the disciples are staring at Jesus as he paints this picture, and all they see is the obvious pattern, the exact words. They cannot, probably because they don't have the framework nor the skills yet, see what we may see, the picture of salvation, mercy, and love that exists within these words. The disciples only see the thing. They cannot see what more could be there. And even though we live on this side of the resurrection, knowing what it is that Jesus is talking about, I wonder if we also sometimes fail to see the picture within the picture. When we look at the cross and see our own salvation, but fail to see the ways Jesus came to save the whole of creation. When we fail to extend love, justice, and mercy to others, fail to call out racism, sexism, and injustice. When we fail to recognize how imprisoning thousands of Japanese Americans in their own country simply because of their heritage has sown racism further into the DNA of our country, or how calling COVID-19 the Hunan flu is perpetuating the same racism, then we're as blind as the disciples before us, unable to see the beyond the primary image. We listen to Jesus, but cannot begin to see what he means. But this is not true for the blind man who calls out to Jesus. He not only sees a man who may be able to heal his blindness, but also calls him the Son of David, acknowledging there's more to Jesus than others may think. This blind man is able to see, even before Jesus restores his sight, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the chosen one. And I suspect he would have better understood what Jesus was talking about than Jesus' own disciples. Sometimes a thing is just a thing. Sometimes a thing is more than a thing, as was the case with Zacchaeus, and possibly what you already think of this story. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, likely a regional supervisor of other tax collectors, and the text tells us he was rich. Based on that information, you likely already have an image of him, much the same way the Jewish people he collected taxes from did. They and you saw him as a sinner who preyed on the people, charging far more than what was fair for their taxes and getting rich on the backs of their fellow citizens. So when Jesus sees Zacchaeus and calls him down from the tree he's climbed up in, and Zacchaeus says, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." And then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." The picture that we often see is that of a repentant sinner who changes his ways. Admittedly, this is the same picture that I have seen for many years, except today. I began to see that if you look back at the original Greek of the text and then look at other Bible translations, I'm not sure that's what's going on here. The verb forgive is not a future action as our text is translated, but rather a present active verb. Zacchaeus' response may be more accurately translated in the New American Standard Bible, which says, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I am giving to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I am giving back four times as much." He's already giving back. He's already ensuring that what he has aids the poor. He's already righteous. Jesus says today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham, to show Zacchaeus' Jewish siblings that he is as much a part of the family as they are, and to restore him to his community. It makes me think that the lost ones Jesus shows up to save isn't Zacchaeus or people like him, but instead me and all those who couldn't see past his chief tax collector status. And on this Sunday, less than a week after a man shot and killed 8 people, 6 of whom were Asian or Asian Americans, it strikes me how much we cannot see beyond our first impressions and how unwilling we are to do the work to dismantle our own prejudices and fears. Sometimes a thing is just a thing. But more often, there's a lot more going on than what we first see. Which is what Jesus shows up to remind us of. Jesus sticks with his disciples even when they don't understand, knowing that they eventually will. Jesus stops to talk to the blind man even when others tell him to be quiet. Jesus finds Zacchaeus in the tree even when the crowd pushes in on him, and then says, "I must stay at your house as a guest." Jesus meets us where we are every time. Jesus finds us and begins to pull the first image away from our eyes, teaching us how to focus on just the right spot so we see what is hidden in plain sight, teaching us to see beyond just our political leanings and the assumptions of who we are based on what we do, teaching us how to see a world full of love and grace and mercy within the pain, the suffering, and our fear. Teaching us to see the beauty of our different races and cultures instead of making quick assumptions based on skin color or gender. Teaching us to see that what we assume to be true may only be part of the story, that there is a depth that we may not yet appreciate. Sometimes a thing is just a thing. But Jesus continues to show us there's always more there than we first assume.